long as I'm standing, the war is not over.
Our two ancient houses face collapse because of your stupidity.
I did what I had to do to survive. I will always be a Stark.
He died for us. If we are not willing to do the same for him, we're cowards.
The real war is between the living and the dead. And make no mistake, the dead are coming.
Welcome back, everybody, to Rant of Thrones, the poor man's Game of Thrones after show. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and together we are we're mother and son podcasting TV show reviewing duo. I never know how to make that smooth. I just can't.
You are the world's worst up with some kind of... You change it up every week too.
I never know
what we're gonna get with whenever I say I'm Justin. You're like I'm Kelly, and then there's nothing, or I
just you know fall off the side of a cliff. So
hey y'all, we're the dumpster fire that talks about Game of Thrones. That's what
Thank
we are.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna write that down. The dumpster fire.
Not only are we the poor man's Game of Thrones after show, we're the dumpster fire that talks about Game of Thrones. But we're going to be discussing Season 6, Episode 7, The Broken Man. And in this episode, the High Sparrow eyes another target. Jaime confronts a hero. Arya makes a plan. And the North is reminded. So before we get into the episode, I want to break these down one by one here. Because I thought this was the most humorous episode synopsis I think I've ever read for Game of Thrones. Yeah. It's the most vague. It's kind of bullshit, and it's kind of
we get bullshit synopses every week.
Well, okay,
or synopsi, I'm not sure.
I don't know, who knows? I'm sure some smart person listening to us knows exactly
no, smart people do not listen to us.
That's very true. Yeah. Okay, so last week, episode 6, Blood of My Blood, it was an old foe comes back into the picture, Walder Frey. Mm-hmm. Gilly meets Sam's family. Pretty straightforward. Arya faces a difficult choice. She did face a difficult choice because she had to decide whether or not to kill Lady Crane off, or you know, to be Arya Stark that protects people and is not a dickhole like some of the other faceless men are. And then Jaime faces off against the High Sparrow. Fairly straightforward, right?
Okay, if you say so. But I seem to feel like you always think they are kind of bullshit.
Sometimes I do think that. This one, the High Sparrow eyes another target. Okay, that one that I get, that's pretty straightforward. That's Lady Olenna. He is eyeing her in this episode. He has the conversation with Margaery. He's like, hey, you better
She's
tell
a sinner.
Grandma to come correct mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I'm about to off her ass.
Right.
So, okay, get that. Jaime confronts a hero.
Yeah, I'm not real sure about that one.
I mean, I understand what it is. You're talking about Sir Brydon, the Blackfish.
Yeah.
You know, this is Catelyn's uncle. So I get that that's who he confronts in this episode. And he's a hero, I guess, because he's still continuing the fight against the Lannisters, even though the war has been over. At least that war has been over for quite some time. Basically, since the Red Wedding, you know, that was pretty much the writing on the wall. The Starks and the North really just kind of crumbled after that, it seems like. Okay, so, all right, maybe I'm coming around to your way of thinking.
Exactly.
Arya makes a plan.
She did. She made a plan. It was not a good plan. No, it was a great plan. And we'll get to...
Do you really think that was a great plan?
I think it was an excellent plan. Get the hell out of there.
Okay, yeah, I will give you that.
She just wasn't. I mean, as soon as a sweet old lady came towards you, you should have known.
Exactly.
That was stupid. She should have. Hiding in plain sight was dumb.
Did Jack and Hagar not teach her anything?
Apparently not.
Yeah, so we watched a season and 7 episodes of Jack and Hagar and the Waif teaching her shit to have her not learn anything and get stabbed in the stomach by that Waif cunt.
Yeah, God. Oh, and I didn't really understand. I still don't understand why she was such a bitch about it. You know, why did she hate her so bad?
Well, We didn't talk about it last week, but it after I watched a few more people discussing Game of Thrones, and of course we do this immediately after the show. I mean, we just finished watching the episode. And
didn't have really time for it to sink in.
Yeah, exactly. Not everything sinks in, and so you have this waif girl. If she's a true faceless man, she wouldn't care. They don't have feelings. They don't have emotion. So that this whole storyline with Arya, I'm just ready for it to be done with the faceless men. Like,
let me ask you this. Would you have been happy if she would have finished Arya off?
No, I wish Arya would have been like, you know, whenever, as soon as, hey, sweet little,
okay,
she just takes needle out and stabs old lady like 50 million times. And then it would have even been funnier had it been like just really some old lady, and then she was like, hey, here's some fish, and Arya's just going around stabbing every old person that she sees because she thinks it's going to be like some faceless man.
Now that would not be Stark-like at all.
It's not Stark-like.
Let me
but
ask
she's
you
been,
this, too.
She got trained by the Hound as well.
Well, that's true. Did you notice last week when, you know, she pulls Needle out from that pile of rocks, does Needle look like it's grown because Starya's bigger now? Needle
Starya?
Seems like... I'm sorry, Starya. Where did that come? That's what Arya and Stark together comes out.
I like it.
I actually
it.
Love that. I love that. That's gonna be my new Twitter name, Starya.
Starya. I think you should go. I think you should still be Starya Stark.
Starya Stark.
Nice alliteration there.
did Needle seem like it's bigger now?
It did. It did seem quite a bit bigger. So, but it was also really really small back in the day. And I'm like, okay, I love Arya. Think she's a badass. I don't see how she's gonna go cut down all these people with Needle, which is basically a thumbtack. So
right,
yeah, Needle's a little bit.
It's magic. It's magical.
Next step up from a needle?
I don't have any idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. But we won't return back to talk about Arya and Braavos. That was the extent of it. Other than. I thought it was a dream. For a second, like for a split second, I thought it was like, it seemed very dreamlike, and especially whenever she was walking through, you know, through the city and people were kind of like staring at her and she's like literally bleeding out, which I get, you know, this is Middle Earth or
yeah,
not
these
Middle
people
Earth,
are,
medieval
well,
times.
Yeah, they're, and Earth. They're, we don't really know where it is.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not like
there's
hanging
no
out
elves.
With hobbits and, you know, so.
I really don't know. Because
there could be.
I mean, we have, you know, White Walkers and all these other magical things. Why not elves and hobbits and...
That's very true. Do you think she's going to die?
I don't think so.
Is this how Arya Stark goes out?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either because we saw her in the trailer for next week.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we did. I think she's going to get some sweet, sweet revenge on that waif chick.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know what I... What death do I want for the waif chick? Because Needle just doesn't quite cut it. The way that she killed Meryn Trent back in season 5, where she, you know, stabbed his eye out. Mm-hmm. She, you know, cut him like a million times. She had him basically, you know, groveling on the floor on his knees to either not kill him or just go ahead and end it because of, I mean, it was horrible. That was like one of the worst deaths on Game of Thrones. I don't know if I want to see that with the waif girl. Do you?
I don't like her.
I don't
so
either.
I'm just gonna say I don't know what I just wish that there was some way that Arya would be able to talk Jack into killing the waif, because obviously the waif is, you know, all up his butt.
Well, and the waif, I mean, she broke her little oath to the faceless man anyway. Like we just were saying, she has emotions. She's
right. She's
letting things get to her. She's let Arya get to her. You know, she's supposed to have no name, have no face, no background, no history. She's just supposed to serve the many-faced god, and that's
I'm sorry, but she's a girl.
That's true. You girls out there sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Well, and then the North is reminded, like, to me, in kind of a not a great way. They're reminded of all the terribleness that has happened to them. So okay, maybe I recant my earlier statement that it's bullshit, and maybe this episode synopsis did work for me. But let's get to the coolest thing that happened in this episode, and that's effing hound is back.
I knew you'd be so excited. And I just wrote, the hound lives. And I was happy about that. I had hoped he hadn't died. I was trying to figure out, though, when was the last time we saw him?
In season four, I believe.
It was the end of season 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, with him and Brienne. They had that like knockdown, drag out fight in that little rock area.
Mm-hmm.
And she straight, I want to say she straight 300 his ass. You know, this is Sparta, and kicked him off the hill, and he just kind of fell down quite a bit and was quite broken, hence the title Broken Man. And you know, his spirit's been broken, his old way of life had been broken. So, and in this episode, Ian McShane, apparently his name is Ray, worst Game of Thrones name ever. Like, you've got Ian McShane, this badass dude, and you're gonna name him Ray?
I tried to find it on IMDb, and it didn't. All it said was Ian McShane, and I'm like, okay, this, you know, when your actor name is so cool,
yeah, exactly.
Why give him a name?
They should have just said his name was Ian. Like, yeah. Who cares? I mean, I knew before the season started that he was going to be in this season at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd honestly kind of forgotten about his, you know, that he had a role in Game of Thrones because it didn't come earlier in the season, and by now I'm like, oh, I've already forgot every single thing that I read before season 6 started. But yeah, the only reason why I found out that his name was Ray was literally because after the episode, you know, they have the inside the episode, and then the D&D brothers, which they're not real brothers, but they come on there and they talk about, you know, the pivotal scenes from the episode, and they talk about Ray, his character, but they don't even say, like, I don't even think they mentioned Ian McShane. They should have been like, we got Ian McShane.
Right.
And what a waste of Ian McShane.
I know.
Because we kill him off in this exact same episode, which was, to me, utter bullshit, especially after the Hound had just mentioned, you know how to fight. So I thought we were about to have, like, this epic pairing of Ian McShane and Sandor Clegane going off and killing everybody.
Yeah, but I think it was they were trying to show a good example of the fact that this guy had become a completely different person than he was in his past life. And it was supposed to give the Hound hope that he could become a different person, that he could forget about all the evil things that he'd done. And then, of course, you know, humanity reminded him that, you know, you have to be an asshole. So it's okay for you to continue to just be a badass and go kill people. So
yeah, this world that we live in Game of Thrones is not a world for pacifists at all.
It was so funny because, you know, when they opened up with that scene and you see these people that are friendly to each other and they were smiling and happy. I'm like, what the hell?
I didn't know what was going on.
I thought I was watching the wrong show.
Well, and plus, like, there was no opening.
Right.
Like, that was the weirdest thing to me because, you know, normally we get previously on and then all of a sudden it pops into the epic intro. We didn't get that at all. Went straight into the scene.
Yeah, we got the normal TV show kind of thing where they, you know, have this little zinger.
Yeah, that's what The Walking Dead always does.
Right.
Like, they go into the episode a little bit, and then, you know, right as their little punchline happens, that's when they hit you with the theme song. I thought it was a flashback at first, to be totally honest. I thought Ian McShane was going to have something to do with the Tower of Joy. I literally thought at first I was like, are they building Tower of Joy?
Okay,
like,
now you're right. I did think that too, because I thought, wow, he could, you know, it could turn off really small like that.
Yeah, but then, exactly. I was looking at it a little closer, and I'm like, wait a second. The Tower of Joy was like a castle-looking thing.
Right,
This is like a wooden, you know, shanty.
Yeah.
You know, humble beginnings for the Tower of Joy.
Yeah.
So, but no, I love the Hound coming back, and you're totally right. I mean, this whole scene and everything was just meant to showcase to Sandor Clegane that, you know, he can't get away from his past. He's got to go do what he's basically been bred to do, and that's cut other motherfuckers down. So
okay, so which motherfuckers do you think he's going to go cut?
Well, I'm not 100% accurate on this, or I don't think I am. I thought that those people that came up were the Brotherhood with no banners. And they devote themselves to the Lord of Light. And that's like the same thing as Beric Dondarrion back in the day that the Hound fought and beat. You know, I think Thoros of Myr resurrected Beric Dondarrion after the Hound had defeated him.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that really tripped him out because remember he used the fire and like there's like flames everywhere. And of course the Hound is like deathly afraid of fire because of his asshole brother.
Right, as well he should be.
As well he should be. So I don't know. I mean, my obvious thought is that it's going to lead into some kind of battle with the mountain, Franken Mountain at this point. Because you saw that what's his face? Ian McShane's character, he was basically a part of what is it, I wrote it down. The High Seven or the Faith of the Seven, excuse me. Because he was a Septon, and he had the same symbol that the High Sparrow wears. Mm-hmm. Because last week, this is another thing that I didn't catch last week because, I don't know, who knows, I was probably drinking beers while I was watching the episode. But last week, whenever Tommen and, you know, the High Sparrow, they came together and joined forces, and they had that new sigil. And it was basically the Faith of the Seven sigil with the House Baratheon type thing or whatever. I don't even remember it having the stag from House Baratheon, but they had changed it because basically, you know, the faith and the crown had came together, and that's why all the King's Guard and everything, they had new, you know, the new sigil on there. And I just remembered it from that this guy Ray had that same sigil for Ray. The Faith of the Seven. Yeah, I know Ray. What's his name? Jeez, man, come on, people, give Ian McShane a cooler name than Ray. So a part of me thinks that we are going to get the fight of the century. You know, we're going to have the Cleganes versus the Clegane, and that is going to be the champion for the High Sparrow, because we know that Cersei, she's wanting to have a trial by combat. She's got the Franken Mountain, which, holy crap, you know, both of us, if we had to give a review for this episode, we said that a lot happened, but at the same time, nothing happened in this week's episode of Game of Thrones. But I think it's going to lead to an all-out, just crazy, balls-to-the-wall action next week. And it looks like the Franken Mountain is about to just destroy some little sparrows because it looks bad. And I think little old Lancel Lannister is going to be the first one to go. So,
and I'm kind of happy for him to go. Yeah. He's kind of a dick. I don't like him. I'm sorry.
I don't. He's just slime ballish.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a fan of his. So, yeah, we love the Hound. That was definitely, to me,
there was two parts to me of this episode that were really big. That was the Hound living and Arya, you know, being stabbed and nearly killed. Those to me were the two. The main thing. So then, like you said, there's a lot of little stuff that happened around that I think is leading up to some big stuff. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the stuff in King's Landing didn't really do it for me, but I will say that I was happy to see, you know, because we had kind of touched on it last week, the fact that we didn't think Margaery was 100% fully on board with the High Sparrow. You know,
and she is not.
No, she's definitely not. She's straight conning his ass right now, and I think she's doing. Margaery, to me, she's right up there with Cersei.
Oh, they are the same person.
Yeah, because I mean, well, for one, I mean, Lady Olenna is she's just a badass, and that has been Margaery's tutor this entire time. Of her entire life. So, because that conversation that Lady Olenna had with Cersei, damn,
she wouldn't have anything. She's like, no, you know what? Remember that smirk that you gave me? I didn't forget it. I'm not going to be your buddy. I'm not going to help you.
No. I mean, whenever she said, it was something along the lines of this, you've lost, and that's the only joy I can find in all of this misery.
And did you notice that Cersei had nothing to say? She's always got something to say.
I honestly thought that she was going to have Franken Mountain straight up pop Lady Olenna's head, and I was really worried for a second.
Her mouth kind of came open, and then it snapped shut.
Yeah. There was two zingers. The other one was the, I wonder if you're the worst person I've ever met. The truly vile ones stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, Lady Olenna is throwing some hot fire at Cersei right now. So I love those scenes with them together. I don't know. It just sounds like to me, and I think we talked about it last week with Bran's visions, and he had that one vision of King's Landing just basically erupting in wildfire.
Right.
I just feel like Cersei's going to burn this bitch down. Like, she hates everybody. She's even, I mean, I think this was like Cersei actually truthfully coming out and trying to get Lady Olenna on her side. Like, I don't feel like that there was any like ulterior motives.
No, I think she was serious.
Yeah.
She really was trying to say, hey, look, I'm, you know, she can come out and say sorry, but basically let's let the past be the past.
Yeah.
And we need to band together. There's not a whole lot of times that she's genuine in anything.
No.
And she was, I felt like she was this time, but
I certainly do. I don't think this was disingenuous from her at all. Like I feel like she's truly seen that all those times where she was terrible to other people and, you know, was always backstabbing other people is coming back to haunt her, and that she has really has nobody on her side except for this beast of a
right.
You know, monster that she has.
And Olenna did point that out. You know, all your family's gone. Jamie's not here. You know, your son is turned on you. Everybody has turned on you. You have no one. And that was pretty much when her mouth just kind of snapped shut.
Would she kill Tommen?
Oh, hell yes.
You really? I don't know if she would. I mean, you know, we've seen her do the craziest of crazy things and the most horrible of things in the past, but you know, she's all, I mean, she even says that to Lady Olenna, you know, she's like, you know, you love your children and everything. So I don't know. It is weird to think. I think that she may indirectly be the death of Tommen.
The previews for next week, Jamie says something about the fact that, you know, he loves Cersei and that, you know, he doesn't care if he has to kill all the Tullys to get back to her. And I, you know, it's so funny because I'm getting these goosebumpy feelings, this Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, which, again, I know it's creepy, but they are my favorite love story.
They are a very interesting love story, yeah, that's for sure.
But I kind of feel like at this point, they've had so many things thrown in their way, and they had almost kind of had a family for, you know, just for a second there when he started, you know, admitting, you know, to his daughter and everything. And I don't know. I just kind of feel like at this point, it's just going to be the two of them that they are going to fight their hardest to get just to each other. And I don't know.
Back to one another.
Right.
But with their like dying breaths, and that's just the end of them. You know,
that's going to suck.
They have they get that shot that, you know, you get in the movies where it's like the one lover reaches out to the other lover. Yeah. They're like so close to touching hands, but then they just, they kill over and die in that moment. So, but we might get that. Who knows? At this point.
I hope not, because Jamie's eyes were so blue in this episode. So I'm kind of hoping that he stays around for a little while longer.
I don't know what's going to happen there, because that's where I wanted to go to next is actually to River Run.
Yeah.
I loved the opening scenes with River Run. I thought they were great. They were funny. We finally got Bronn back. And they were having their little conversation, because Bronn brings up the fact that, you know, these Frey douchebags are terrible at trying to siege a castle. And I don't know what the first line was, but I certainly remember Bronn's line back to him whenever he says, that's like saying I have a bigger cock in the biggest cock in the Unsullied army. That was a nice zinger right there from Bronn. So I love their back and forth. Like, to me, Bronn, he's kind of like Tyrion. Whoever he's paired with it's a great pairing.
Right.
And so I've missed Bronn a lot on the show. I think he's a lot of fun. He was most certainly the best parts of Dorne, I think, because
you hate Dorne.
I hate Dorne. And hey, I think the showrunners and writers are with me, because we have not gone back to Dorne.
I don't understand that. How did they leave it the way they left it?
I think they were just like, ooh, just like our dumpster fire of an after show.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like, well, we're just
let's just kill some of them.
Pretend that didn't exist. So, I don't think anybody's clamoring for more Dorne. But I love also the fact that because I don't like these Frey people. You know, I don't like the Freys. They caused the Red Wedding, and they will forever be assholes in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved whenever, you know, Jaime is just giving those dudes the shit. I love that. I loved whenever they pulled out Lord Edmure Tully out in front of Castle Riverrun, and Bryden Tully Blackfish is just like, I don't give two shits.
Go ahead,
cut
kill
his
him.
Throat.
I don't
get
care.
On with it. Yeah, it was fantastic. So what do you think is going to happen here, though? Because we see the meeting between the Blackfish and the Kingslayer. I love that, how they just, that's their names for each other. And it was definitely a one-sided affair, because Bryden owned his ass. There was, like, Jaime had nothing to say back to him. I mean, whenever somebody says they're disappointed in meeting you.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That's like the harshest criticism. That's like, you know, you're my mom. You getting mad at me and shouting at me and, like, you know, beating me is one thing.
But if I quietly tell you, I am disappointed in you.
Exactly. That's when it stings the most, people. Mm-hmm. So, that was a harsh first meeting between these two characters. I love
when foes can meet in a civilized manner like that and throw some zingers at each other and turn and walk away without anybody, you know, jumping in going, I'm gonna cut you, motherfucker, or anything like that, you know.
That's you definitely have to be a lord or a lady, I guess, because most people would not do that.
Exactly. I couldn't do that.
No.
I thought, wow, man, they're so civilized. But it can't go well, because they are in a castle, and they have, at least he said they had 2 years worth of provisions. And I have a feeling he was pretty calm, cool, and collected about the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think he would lie about it. Like, I think he's ready to... I mean, as he said, he's basically ready to fight. And the only reason why he met with him is because this is boring to him.
Exactly. Well, I mean, seriously, they don't have cable.
Yeah, exactly. They probably don't have a lot of books hanging around either. I mean,
could you imagine how boring it is?
Oh, geez. Just waiting for a fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably why they
just
fought
waiting,
a lot back in the day.
Waiting to die. I mean, it's not...
That's very true. Yeah, I got 2 years. I'm just waiting on old sweet death to knock at my doorstep. So, I'm very excited, though. I think everything at River Run is going to come to a head either next week or the week after that, because we know that Brienne, she's making her way there. She's going to try and get the Blackfish on Jon Snow and Sansa's side to take up the battle against the bastard Boltons.
Well, somebody needs to get on their side, because obviously they went to all the houses, and I mean, it was not really fruitful.
No, they were definitely reminded, just like that synopsis told us.
Yeah, and that was the part that for me that was really kind of broke my heart when. And I don't remember exactly how House
Glover.
Yeah, and he says that, you know, House Stark is no more, basically.
Yeah, House Stark is dead.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I served House Stark once, but House Stark is dead.
I was like, dang it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that scene for a second, because I love the fact that Sansa, I mean, she's the one that steps up and is like, you know, need I remind you that House Glover is pledged to House Stark? And I love that, because that's something we've been getting from Sansa more and more.
John is weak.
Well, no. This is perfectly understandable, though, because John has a much easier time talking with the wildlings. He has a much easier time when it's more of a simplistic conversation, like, you know, I fought for you, you fight for me.
Okay, I don't mean
end
he's
of story.
Weak. Obviously, I love
no,
John.
When no, I'm, no, I,
he's not. A good he's not a good politician.
No, exactly. No, that's what I loved about this episode. And that's what you see as they're trying to recruit these different houses. The fact that, you know, the Wildlings, it took 2 seconds, really. You know, Jon Snow, he bled for them. That's all they needed to know. You know, whenever he's having a conversations with these, you know, with these lords and these ladies and everything, he struggles mightily having conversations with them, because he wants to break things down to like a, you know, just a you talking to one of your friends type of conversations,
right.
You know, and they're all, you know, I guess not, they're not really like 10 steps ahead of him or anything like that, because obviously we know that Jon is he's a master strategist. I mean, he has basically, how many battles has he won?
I think it all comes down to the fact that when someone calls you a bastard your entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of self-confidence when it comes to people that actually have the title, even though he has the blood.
Yeah.
You know, I think Catelyn had a lot to do with that, because she was kind of a bitch to him.
Yeah, she was not very nice to him. I mean, she didn't want to include him in much of anything back in the earlier seasons and the earlier books and everything. But the best one to me was freaking Lyanna Mormont.
Man, I'd like to hook her up with a Stark.
Yeah, like the character, she's played by Bella Ramsey. Man, that little girl absolutely murdered this role. Like, mm-hmm. She was fantastic. I loved her so much.
I'd like to be her when I grow up.
I definitely would. I loved her in Ser Davos's conversation. You know, whenever he's, you know, whenever she pledges 62 men and Jon Snow and Sansa are like, what? 62 men?
Oh, dang.
And, you know, he says, you know, if they're half as ferocious as, you know, as the lady of the house or the lord of the house, Lyanna Mormont, then the Boltons are in for basically a hell of a time, because they're in for trouble if these 62 men are half as badass as she is. She was fantastic. The Glovers, that was definitely a sad scene to see. The fact that yeah, it's just we're reminded that, you know, the North was overtaken by the Greyjoys, and then it was overtaken by the Boltons. But you see that the Glovers, they were given their house back by the Boltons. So like,
right.
They're, you know, they're like, hey, this is where our loyalty lies with them now, because where were the Starks whenever my wife, my children, everybody in my family was murdered by the Greyjoys, whenever, you know, you guys were off fighting your war, you know, basically for your house, and included all these other houses and everything. But I really wish that Sansa would have, it was kind of like, dang it, they took her back to that like meek Sansa as soon as she like piped up, and it was like an awesome moment, and then, you know, they let this dude kind of like cut her back down again, which I understand it. You know, they've got to show us that, you know, the Starks are going to have a tough time rallying the troops and everything. But
right.
I don't know. I'm excited for them to get like their army together. You know, as Jon in this episode, he's like, we're going to war no matter what, which we know didn't work out quite that well for Stannis. So I think he needs to hold back a second. Whoever, I didn't catch who Sansa sent that letter to. I don't remember.
No, I stopped it, went back, you couldn't tell.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can't remember who Littlefinger told her would be on her side, or maybe it was sent to Littlefinger. I don't know. I didn't catch it at all. So
and it bothered me.
Yeah, I wish I would have known exactly. I know that they said it, because I mean, she was the one that was saying that they needed to go talk to these people, but I just could not remember. I didn't have subtitles on. So feel free to let us know in the comment box down below. Because, yeah, I just don't remember who it was I didn't catch who it was.
See, that's what happens when you have I've got this huge TV that is wonderful, but I don't have the remote for it. So I can't figure out how to turn on the captioning.
Yeah,
so,
you need the subtitles.
Yes. Yep.
They help tremendously. So, all right. So it's down. It's time for the bacon score. How many bacons out of 5 do you give episode 7, The Broken Man?
This is hard for me, because obviously I seem to only give it 5 bacons.
You do.
Mm-hmm. But this week I'm not going to give 5 bacons.
Oh.
I know. I'm actually going to give this, in the Game of Thrones world, this is a 4 bacon episode for me.
I think that's still a good score. I'm going to give it, I'm waffling between 3.5 and 4 bacons.
No, Jamie's hair looked good.
Jamie's hair did look good.
Really good. So, you know.
Sansa's hair looked even better.
She looked very, it's getting back to that glorious red that it, you know, that
there
it was meant
to be. Lots of boobies with Theon and Yara.
Oh, so, yes, there was. We didn't even talk about that at all.
Well, I mean, that was pretty much it. Boobies,
yeah, boobs,
boobies.
Lots and lots of boobs.
I did like the fact that they are making their way to Meereen as well to give Dany the ships. So that is a big thing right there, because it's going to come down to whose ships are Dany, you know, is Dany going to take? Is she going to take Euron's ships? Is she going to take Theon and Yara's ships? Okay, that settles it. The boobies... up the bacons to a half bacon. So okay. I'm going to give this one 4 bacons out of 5.
Okay. All right. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Better than 90% of all the other TV that's on
that's
our TVs
so true.
Right now.
That's
so.
Very true.
All right. Well, you can email us. It's at rantpocalypse@gmail.com. And we would love to hear your thoughts in the comment box down below. So leave all your comments about this episode. We'll be back recapping season 6, episode 8 next week. Thanks so much for joining in on our conversations of Game of Thrones. And that's all we got to say.
Bye-bye now. I need $1.